Each week as I prepare for Sunday morning, I take a look at the scriptures, at the lectionary readings on Monday, sometimes even before the Monday if I'm really on the ball. But on Monday morning, I take a look at the scriptures and I read through them and I try to get a sense of what they're saying, what the themes are, and where God is leading me for a Sunday morning. And sometimes a single word or a sentence will jump out at me. And sometimes I'll play with that word or that sentence and see if it's something that I can do or something that I can use with the sermon. And sometimes it doesn't work out. It's always frustrating when I realize that on Friday. But sometimes I figure it out earlier than that. And sometimes there's times when more than one word jumps out at me, and more than one sentence jumps out at me that I want to use, or that makes sense to me. And this week is one of those weeks where there's more than one passage. And it is fortunate that they work well together. And considering that this morning is also Reformation Sunday, they enhance even working with that. And the first passage that jumped out at me is this: cheer up, get up, he is calling you. This is what the crowd said to Bartimaeus: cheer up, get up, he is calling you. Now I want to stop or pause and consider the significance of what is happening here. But first, I really do want you to hold on to those words. Cheer up, get up. He is calling you. Remember them. Now let's pause and consider the significance of this passage and of what is really going on here. And the first thing is, it's a question for you. Who is being told to cheer up and get up because Jesus is calling him? It's not a trick question. Shout the answer out. Bartimaeus. It's Bartimaeus. How do you know that? Because it says so, right? Because Mark says so in his gospel. He names Bartimaeus. Mark tells us who the individual is, and that makes this story important. Because Bartimaeus is the second blind man that Jesus has healed in Mark's gospel. Can you tell me the name of the first individual? You can't, because Mark doesn't tell us. Mark doesn't name the first individual who was blind and was healed by Jesus. It's never mentioned. Jesus also heals other individuals in Mark's gospel. He raises a dead girl, he healed a sick woman, a paralyzed man, a deaf and a mute man, and a demon-possessed boy. And other than being healed by Jesus, they all share the same characteristic, that they are not named. They are not given a name. But for some reason, Mark names Bartimaeus. And that should tell us something about this passage. The story from Bartimaeus is in Mark chapter 10. So let's go back two chapters to Mark 8. This is when Jesus heals the first blind man. Between that encounter of the healing of the first blind man and today's passage, where Bartimaeus is healed, Jesus predicts or talks about his death three times. And after the final prediction, we have the passage where James and John ask to sit at the left and the right hand of Jesus in glory. That's the passage we looked at last week. And then we have our passage today. And for the first time, Mark names the individual that Jesus heals. We have two stories where blind men are healed. The first is anonymous and the second is not. And sandwiched in between these two healing stories, Jesus lays plain what he came on earth to do. And here's another interesting tidbit about all the other healing stories that Mark has shared with us in his Gospels. In his Gospel, after Jesus heals those individuals, the blind man, the demon-possessed boy, the dead girl, the sick woman, they all go back to their lives. But not Bartimaeus. He follows Jesus. And that's the second sentence that jumped out at me. Immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You see the shift that's happening in Mark's gospel as we look at it as a larger whole. As we look at his whole gospel story. First, we are blind and we do not follow. It's only after Jesus makes plain why he has come that we receive our sight and can truly follow Jesus. And when you consider that the next passage in Mark's gospel is the triumphal entry, it highlights and hits home the importance of this passage. That the healing of Bartimaeus is a bedrock text that we need to take seriously. Cheer up. Get up. He is calling you. You. Each and every one of you. Jesus is calling you. Now today is Reformation Sunday. A day when we can look back to events some 500 years ago and we remember the changes that occurred in the church. The traditions that have brought us here to this day. But we also remember that we are reformed and reforming. Now often when we look at the Reformation, when we think of reforming, we do it with the mindset of getting back something we used to have, especially these days. We need better children's programs so we can have a bustling Sunday school. Do you remember when? So many pews are empty and attendance always seems down. Do you remember when that wasn't the case? But this isn't what Reformation is about. That is looking back with fondness on another time, nostalgia, which is fine, but it won't drive us forward. In her commentary on this passage, Carolyn Lewis writes, "The church desperately needs take courage, get up, he is calling you kind of reformation. A reformation with courage and heart at its center that doesn't sit there silently, but answers God's call to resistance and persistence and then follows along the way, recognizing an ecological God instead of an economical God." Jesus is calling us. Calling us to go forward in new, bold, and creative ways. I'm currently reading Reverend Dr. Stuart MacDonald's newest book, Changing Allegiances, the Changing Shifts of the Church that we see it in North America, particularly in Canada. And it's a book that talks, and I'll be honest, I skipped the first three sections because I got them in his history class, right? That talk about all the statistics and the decline of the church. But I want to know his answers and his insights as to what he thinks is next and what he thinks the opportunities that are maybe before us with the church as we live in a post-Christendom society. What are the opportunities that are there? What are the ways that we can engage, that we can be of good cheer, that we can get up because Jesus is calling us. The ways that we can make differences in our community. How is God calling us to be disciples and to be followers of Christ? And what can we do as a community of faith? These are the questions that come to my mind and that drive me forward when I read this passage and when I consider where we are today. And I find it fascinating because also embedded in this text is a question. The ask, if you will. And Jesus is the one who asks the question. Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Can you even imagine? Just consider that it's only a few passages ago that James and John are asking Jesus to do whatever it is they ask, and he rebukes them. But here Jesus is saying to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" James and John wanted to be exalted at the left and the right hand of Jesus in glory. Bartimaeus says, "Teacher, I want to see again." Pastor Sarah Wilson writes, "Bartimaeus' story is wedged between the Zebedee boys' massive miscalculation on the nature of glory and Jesus' apparent glorious entry into Jerusalem. Between these two manifestations of glory is a manifestation of mercy, sought and bestowed. Those who have ears to hear know which to prefer." If Jesus asked you, "What do you want me to do for you?" how would you answer? At once, Bartimaeus was able to see and follow Jesus on the road. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asks. Cheer up. Get up. Jesus is calling you.